If you missed the show, check out the podcast.
The Vinny and Nikki Replay.
Subscribe now on iTunes, Google Play, or online at thebeat925.ca.
All right, what's the most important question to ask on the first date? Cosmo Magazine says they have the one question. It's actually a question I've never asked on a first date. So I'm going to tell you what that is. We're taking your guesses, though, at 92925. Somebody said, I believe it should be, are you already in a relationship?
I love this one. Do you live with your mother?
That's actually gone.
What about, do you have kids? I think that's, you know, straight out of the gate, you know, you want to know,
right? The most important?
Maybe not the most important.
Should have done your research beforehand. Well, you should know these things going into the date.
Well, you never know, right?
I just hate the questions like, where do you see yourself in 10 years? What goals, ambitions do you have? What do you like to do for fun?
Well, like thinking, okay, Mr. Positivity over here. Think about if you want this to work, you want to make the most of your time. You're probably going on a lot of dates these days because it seems to be the way that it works. Like, you want to make the most of this. What would you ask that would allow you to learn the most about this person?
Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Says a lot.
Are you married? That's another one. We got a text at 92925.
Have they ever cheated? Would be a horror. Could you imagine how awkward that would be? Like, sit down, nice to meet you. Have you ever cheated? Okay, goodbye.
Like they're going to tell you.
Yeah. Are you willing to commit? Somebody texted, do you have a job?
That's pretty important when you think about it.
Yeah, but you can't look like too much of a ridiculous human either. Like, you know, they're going to run away if I sit down and be like, hello, do you have a job? Like, they're going to run away from the date, you know?
What about, what are you looking for in a relationship? Somebody texted that in 1995. It's kind of like a generic question, right?
You know when I find it type of thing.
I think a lot of people might know that before they go on the first date too, hopefully. Because, I don't know, to me, that especially with like online apps these days, it's right there in the Tinder profile.
True.
Somebody's like, I'm looking for tonight only. And we're getting so many texts right now at 92925. Nobody has guessed the correct answer so far, though.
But they're quite interesting. Text here, do you have a criminal record? Do you have any STDs? Why not? Beth says, do you listen to Vinny and Nikki in the morning? I think that's a great question.
That should be an excellent question. How many dates have you been on? I mean, that's intense. Who's going to count every date they've been on?
You're supposed to answer that.
This one from Deborah says, the most important question would be, what was it like growing up with your family?
But how much time do you got?
But and it's, again, some of these can be like a little much on a first date too, depending on what their family situation was. Okay, so I don't trust or believe in Cosmo Magazine for much, I'll be completely honest. But I think they may be onto something here with this question. They say this is the most important question to ask on a first date. The question is, what's one thing you want to ask me, but you're too nervous to? This is the question you should ask somebody that you're dating. They said that asking this question can allow them to relax a little bit in the moment, get out of their head, and open up, especially if things are a little bit awkward. Because, you know, we all have that. We all have something in the back of our head being like, I don't know if I should say it. This is just a first date. I don't know if that's, like, appropriate. I don't know if he's going to think I'm strange. So the question you ask is, okay, what is one thing you'd like to ask me that you've been too nervous to ask me? Okay.
Isn't it a bit of a cop out though? Like, you're wasting your question on getting them to ask you a question.
Well, there's no like a limit of questions. There's
That's
no
true.
Limit.
That's
you
can a ask good point.
Not a cop out. Yeah. Good point.
It's a conversation. You don't want it to be an interview, you know?
Right, okay.
But like during those periods, and I think it always happens, especially on first dates where there's just like a little bit of a lull where everyone's like, okay, I'm just going to pretend I'm still chewing my food or, you know, because you don't know this person. You're getting to know them. Maybe you have feelings. You've got butterflies. You're being a little bit awkward. One of the best, well, I can't say it's the best first date I went on because obviously it didn't work out, but it was the least awkward first date I went on when we both were just saying how like awkward first dates are, you know? Yeah. And once you do that, I noticed Colton did it first night of The Bachelor. He was really honest. He's like, I'm really nervous
You
right
break
now.
The ice,
you
right? Because it's awkward.
Yeah, instead of pretending that you're something you're not or that you have some sort of like perfect confidence that can freak someone else out. You know, if I'm on a first date and somebody looks like 0% nervous, then I'm kind of like freaked out by that.
So again, Nikki, it's what's one thing you want to ask me, but you're too nervous too, right? Okay.
Exactly.
Like, do you have any STDs, right? Because that could be...
I prefaced it by saying, I'm going to suggest that on a text line.
This is the Vinny and Nikki Replay.
Let's say your ex just got engaged. You see it on social media. Do you write congratulations and say, I'm happy for you? Anna Faris, who was married to Chris Pratt for 8 years, they finalized their divorce in October. Chris Pratt just announced he just got engaged to Katherine Schwarzenegger a couple days ago. And Anna Faris wrote on their post, I'm so happy for you both. Congratulations. And Sam just thinks it's not the right thing to do. You think it's weird. You think it's wrong that she should have wrote a private message.
Maybe it's me just being a little bit bitter, but I feel like when you share like an intimate relationship with someone that you know them better than most people, and if you want to reach out, like there are more sincere ways to do it and to just give a generic like, congratulations, you guys, I'm so happy, especially if you don't know the fiance. I don't know. It seems a bit inauthentic and insincere.
Like a lot of people don't think it's a big deal on our text line.
The vast majority.
One person did text in on our text line, 9925. I ended things on really bad terms with my ex, and when I got engaged, she congratulated my fiance, but not me. Shortly after I got engaged, she got engaged, and I will not say anything to her. I've tried being nice before, and it's done nothing, so why bother? Right.
I guess it depends on how you end it, but I feel like we write a lot of things on social media for the portrayal, for, you know, to give the illusion like, look, this is how I care.
A good point is also that there is a child involved, and I'm sure
that's true.
Anna Faris is wanting to make their relationship as harmonious as possible because her son is going to be spending time with Katherine Schwarzenegger, right? Like somebody texted and said, my ex and I have two children. We've been divorced for 10 years and I'd even go to the wedding. That's how happy I am for him. Yeah. And that's how happy I am in my own life. And she said, she helps raising my kids. Why wouldn't I want to be happy and try to make it a happy moment?
Definitely. When kids are involved, totally, totally different. Tracy's on the phone and she just got engaged. Good morning, Tracy.
Happy New Year to you.
Year.
A little late.
Nah, it's not too late.
And congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We're happy for you.
I'm genuinely
again.
Happy for you.
Yes, wait.
Did
you write it on Facebook, Nikki?
I might have.
You don't mean it unless it's on Facebook.
So what do you think? Congratulating an ex on social media and an engagement. What are your thoughts, Tracy?
I have no problem with this. My ex-husband and I are on very good terms. I know him. I know his girlfriend. They congratulated us when we got engaged on Facebook. Why wouldn't you do that? If you live on good terms, why wouldn't you congratulate somebody? You know, you're not throwing them the engagement party.
I guess you could.
Hell no. If it had been a while since you spoke to them last, and I guess the first thing they see is you just commenting on a post congratulating them. I mean, doesn't it?
Tracy, they say women are overthinkers.
Yeah.
Are you listening to this?
I see it as harmless. Really?
Yeah, but Sam is in a class of his own.
Yeah, that's true.
I compare Sam. It would be awkward for anybody. So if I haven't spoken to somebody in 3 years and they happen to still be on my Facebook page and they get, hey, congratulations on your wedding, I would think that was as odd as if I hadn't talked to my ex and he did it. So I don't think it's because he's my ex that it would be odd that I would get a congratulations.
But
from
Tracy,
him.
Did any of your exes congratulate you on your post from a couple weeks ago?
Well, my ex-husband did, yes. Sam, why don't you get married first and then you could start, you know, criticizing the rest of us on our exes.
Oh, I guess.
We're just going to make fun of you for the size of the diamond, so yeah. No.
Whatever size I choose will be sufficient, okay? Thanks, Tracy. Take care.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
She's just assuming it could be one big diamond. We don't know.
I know.
I'm curious because you're so worried about like how this might make somebody feel. And obviously if there are like still some feelings. So let's say you get engaged and your fiance's ex writes her a private personal message saying like, hey, I'm so happy. Wouldn't that be maybe a little bit of a red flag? Wouldn't it?
Yeah. You know, it's a very mature thing to do. But if there...
It might feel a little too intimate, though, if you're in the new relationship, right?
I guess. That's why it's better just not write anything.
Yeah.
Sam's been on Facebook was...
Let bygones be bygones.
6 months ago.
I have a better idea for you. Get over your ex. That's one thing you could try.
Seriously, who is she?
The Vinny and Nikki Replay Podcast.
Okay, so went to a nice coffee shop on Notre Dame to meet up with some friends, have a chat and some coffee on Sunday, or in my case, tea, because, you know, I can't do too much caffeine, especially later in the day, right? So there was a big table there. It looked like there were maybe like three couples or three parents and their children. And a few of the children were around the same age. They were maybe like 6, 7, 8 years old. Mm. And I mean, it was freezing this weekend. It's Montreal winter. Yeah. We know how it goes. And they are running around this coffee shop. And I honestly, my thought was it must be tough to find things for them to do without always going to like indoor playgrounds. These parents are probably just trying to like catch a moment where they can catch up with friends, have a nice coffee, and just let their kids burn off a little bit of energy. I get that. It must be hard to like make them sit there for the entire time and be quiet.
However,
you knew it was coming.
However, this is what I thought of the situation. These kids were screaming the entire time and they were never told to stop. Mm-hmm. They were like a as soon as they left, there were two tables that literally started clapping. And seriously. And, you know, when I, like I said, every time I got up to go use the washroom, I almost ran into a kid. And I was like, it's okay. It happens. Whatever. They're living their life. One of my friends was so mad, though. She's like, this is a nice coffee shop. You don't come here to buy $10 dessert and see these kids. But yeah. It was the screaming. And as soon as they left, everybody's blood pressure, like, dropped a little bit because we could breathe again. I feel like everybody was so anxious with these kids screaming. And not once did the parents say anything to them.
That's the problem I have.
Yeah.
The fact that they didn't try to wrangle them, try and, you know, subdue it whatsoever, it means that the parents were just sort of like, you know, they blocked the kids out of their mind and they were there for their own reasons. And yeah, whatever the kids want to do, let them run free. But that's not fair for everyone.
No. And I'm empathetic. I am. Like I said, I know it's cold out. I know you're trying not to keep your kids like locked inside a little cage. But this, like, it's never okay to scream inside.
No.
That's not,
no.
You don't scream inside.
No. There are walls. It reverberates.
Yeah, exactly.
I had this conversation with my sister the other day because she has 2 daughters, 7 and 4. Mm-hmm. And wherever they go, they run around like crazy nonstop.
Yeah.
And I'm like, sis, you're not saying anything. You and Jay. And she's like, we're just tired. We're just tired. We don't know what to do. We want a moment's peace. But I'm like, yeah, but they're running around. Aren't they bothering people? And she's just like, bah. And I was like, man, I think in my situation, if I get there with, you know, a 7-year-old, I think I'd want to say something like, just stop, calm down. I'd feel bad for everybody around us.
Yeah. And what does it do to kids growing up, too? I mean, if they're never taught to have discipline, you know, in public and to sort of just at least control the volume of your voice as they get older, does it become tougher to enforce that?
It's tough. I have to say, like, not that I'm defending these screaming kids because they ruined my $8 tea the other day. But I do think that there is room for kids to be kids. Like, I'm not of that mindset where I'm just like, no, kids are expected to sit there and be quiet with their hands crossed. I don't think that's natural, and I don't think that's the way it needs to be at all. It's just the shrieking, the nonstop shrieking that you have to tell them. You don't scream inside places.
Kim, what are your thoughts on this mother of an 8-year-old?
I would have lost my mind. My 8-year-old screams in a restaurant. We're leaving that restaurant.
Like one time.
She needs to learn her place. I mean, I've made more noise on girls' night. Don't get me wrong. But there's a time and a place. And if my kid's running amok, like if she sees that, I'm the parent that's overly correcting my child so that these other parents see a problem.
They were just like having their conversation. They acted like nothing was happening.
I would start disciplining their kids.
Everybody, you would? Yeah.
Get over here right now, mom.
We'd see the entire place had their their shoulders up around their ears, you know, like because you were just like so tense and everything. But I also thought that it should have been the place of maybe like one of the staff members of the coffee shop to say something also.
That's when it becomes a bit hairy, though.
Why, though?
Because you don't want to dissuade people from coming back and, you know.
You do want to dissuade those people from coming back. Seriously.
Business is business, you know.
Let's take some texts on this. What do you think? You can text us this morning.
I don't know. I think it is up to the business to make sure. You're going to lose more. Like, I don't want to go back there now knowing that they have kids running around all of the time screaming.
I know. Find another place to let them run wild. And then when they've calmed down, then take them to the coffee shop.
I also think if you're the coffee shop owner, say something. Don't let you can't ruin like a whole, you can't ruin everybody's afternoon for one table.
What do you tell them?
Kindly shut
tell
up
your kids to shut
yes.
up.
Yes.
Make sure they don't drink coffee or it could be much worse.
Yeah.
You don't want
yes.
that to happen. Adele's on the phone. She has kids and you wouldn't tolerate this, right?
Well, like, I obviously discipline my children. I'm not saying they don't, but there's a certain place and like these coffee shops, I don't bring my kids to these places because I know people go there to relax, to enjoy a bit of company. So we try to bring our kids to places that it's a quick in and out, if anything. And if we see that it doesn't really work out, we actually bring like coloring books or we bring things that keep the kids
distracted,
occupied,
yeah.
exactly for the time that we're there, you know. But in that situation where Nikki was, I don't really find it appropriate whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And there's places and other things that you can do to keep your kids busy and have fun as a family or as a couple or friends, you know?
Yeah.
So that's pretty much what I'm getting into.
We got an interesting text at 9925. I used to waitress at a coffee shop on Notre Dame that was always packed whenever kids were screaming or running and parents were not responding. I would ask the kids myself to use their indoor voice and to walk. The last thing you need is to spill hot tea on a child and be blamed.
True.
It kind of gives you an insight to how things are at home, though. Okay. But yeah, I never thought of the spilling hot tea in a
You
child
can be dangerous, like absolutely. Dangerous. Another reason why the establishment should step in. This text says, guys, it's called respect for others. Once you are out your door, I told an 8-year-old once at Adonis to stop throwing food. Same thing happened to Sam last week.
Put the shawarma down.
The Vinny and Nikki replay.
Subscribe now on iTunes and Google Play.
And listen to Vinny and Nikki in the morning weekdays starting at 5:30
on Montreal's Perfect Mix. The Beat 92.5.